The Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I am Johnny B.
And I am Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 165, coming to you like the Venga bus. New York to San Francisco, an interstate free disco. I was today years old when I realised that, like, New York to San Francisco, an interstate free disco.
I never knew what the lyrics
no,
were.
No, I was
either.
Like,
wow.
I thought it was like, and in the disco, the wheels are still, they're turning, right? And traffic lights are burning. So if you like to party, come on and let's do the podcast. On this week's podcast, we discuss acting. See, I was acting there.
Wow.
How much of a challenge is it? And what are the craziest things some actors have done to prepare for roles?
Well, he claims that his friend Fridge Dwyer cannot be killed by conventional weapons as he drinks from a stream. I don't remember him saying that, but that's fair enough. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
When she says she's drinking bitch diesel, she actually means she's having a glass of rosé. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditionally as reboiling the kettle 10 seconds after you boil it the first time in case it's not hot enough, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, last week we had on Joe Brawley, and the week before we were talking about apprenticeships and obscure college courses. Well, Ailish got in touch to say, wanted to let you know that I am a second year student in Athlone IT doing bar supervision. It's actually a pretty full on course and you do need 150 points to do it. We pull pints, study mixology, sounds like a DJ in the Celtic Tiger, accounting and business management, amongst other things like health and safety, beverage costing, beer studies, and restaurant service. If I am completely honest, I never thought I would be hearing the Two Johnnies talk about a course I'm in. It is actually a pretty decent course, and as much as it says on the tin that it's just pulling a few pints and dealing with a few melted heads, it's actually worth the 2 years. Yes, we might drink the bar dry in class, but it's really a great qualification to have. I think so, anyway.
That comes from Ailish. She's an alcoholic.
I know. Running a bar is no joke, lad.
I know, yeah. I know.
Everyone in Ireland thinks like, oh, if I had a pub, it'd be class.
Yeah, I know. I have thought about that myself. Yes. No, fair play to Ailish. If you're ever looking for a couple of melters to, like, you know, just test out how patient you are, give us a call. Give us a call. Kevin from NYC got in touch. That's New York City for those of you who aren't aware.
NYC, County Cavan.
A close friend of mine, anyway, says Kevin, was one of the brightest kids in high school and came from a very smart family. His father was one of the developers of the IBM Watson supercomputer. He went off to a big technology school for university, but ended up dropping out and coming home after the first year for having too much crack. Oh. When he came home, he fell into the doldrums. No school, no work, and a haunting from his parents for dropping out of school. Meanwhile, I worked in a fairly popular bar on McLean Avenue since I was 16 and decided to go to community college. What bar's that in? We will find you. We'll narrow this down. He saw that I was making a decent penny and paying my way through school. He thought he didn't need to get a big-time college degree and he could make cash every night and live the glamorous life of a bartender. Well, a 14-hour shift during the McLean Avenue St. Patrick's Day parade changed his mind. Some drinking and that. Driving home at 5 in the morning, we stopped for breakfast sandwiches and he told me he couldn't keep going like this. The cash felt great in his pocket, but his back, neck, feet and hands were killing him. The following week, he applied for the summer semester at our local community college, finished the semester and transferred back to the tech school, graduated with honours, earned his master's degree and was hired by Apple in their product development department.
Wow.
Now that seems like a quick heartwarming story, but it gets better. Making great money, he got caught up in a big corporate tech world with Apple. Fancy apartments outside San Fran, constant flights to China, endless meetings and dinners with people he thought were much smarter than him, and constant deadlines finally got to him. Then came the phone call to his parents. Mom, Dad, I'm quitting Apple and walking the Pacific Crest Trail. He said it was the first time he heard his mother say the word fuck. I can't give you the ins and outs of his walks, but he can. Being a nut for data, he kept his own blog while on the hike. Total miles hiked, 2,653. Is that a lot?
That is a lot.
Hiking day is 129. Is that a lot? That's a lot.
Half
a year. That's bad maths.
4 or 5 months, that's a lot.
He hiked for 102 full hiking days.
Wow.
He done 40 marathons, I think, in that time, like over 26.2 miles. His average daily mileage when hiking, 20 miles. There's loads of other things there that, to me, I can't understand. But he did do his left knee, which I do understand. He had a lot of swelling and he lost one toenail. But he finished the trail a week later before our good friend's wedding. He walked 21 days straight with little sleep or breaks in between. Lost toenails, cuts, bruises, threats of bears every day, all in order to make it to the wedding on time. He extended his thanks to me, and if it wasn't for that night on McLean Avenue, he doesn't know if he would have had the motivation to go back to school. What I take from all this is that my friend didn't walk 2,500 miles in one day, but he did manage to walk it when all is said and done. So challenge yourself every day, maybe not to the extent he did, but challenge yourself nonetheless. Listen, that night shift he worked in that bar on McLean Avenue is tougher than any 2,000 miles a fella's going to walk.
I've seen guys go through pairs of shoes, pairs of underpants. Yeah.
I've seen lads lose livers on McLean Avenue.
Limbs.
I remember one day, actually, a barman was like, some lad was doing, like, you know, where they fill the fridges. You know, they have it all in ice.
Yeah.
And then a bottle was broke and, like, it was someone's job to get it out and someone put their hand in, yeah. They're all going to kill each other in behind the bar. I was like, relax, relax. I'm waiting on a pint over here.
Yeah, but then some nights, as an American barman, we talked to a guy. He said he did it a whole night, a big night, like a McGregor fight or something. And all he was doing was popping bottles all night.
Popping bottles in night.
But I mean, like, he worked an entire night. Bar was rammed. Nobody had a drop of draft. Wow. Bottles, bottles, bottles all night.
Oh, man.
Isn't that mad?
Probably made around $3,000.
$1 million in tips. Which he declared.
Which he definitely paid tax on.
Ronan emailed saying, listening to your podcast on about apprenticeships, I couldn't help but think back to a time when I was a young 16-year-old boy working with his uncle for the summer. While working with your uncle might sound fairly conspicuous, the location was not. First job I ever had was handing my uncle tools as he applied the second and third fix to every room in a prestigious 5-star hotel. We'll let you guess where, that was recently renovated. While the hotel might give off the aura of perfection, the works carried out there left a lot to be desired when you think of the caliber of people who'd be staying in the hotel. Obviously, we were not the only craftsmen at work at the time, while it was operating on a floor-by-floor basis, which would mean that while the electricians might have been fitting out the rooms on one floor, the plasterers would be on the floor above doing a job on the walls. To put it this way, all these plasterers did not have any kuprefuckle between them, and you may say they made up every nation of the former Soviet Union. They weren't the easiest lads to work with. Tensions with the plasterers came to a serious head when on my route of cleaning up after the electricians doing the bathroom fittings, I began to notice an awful smell when I was cleaning the shower area, only to realise I was on my hands and knees in the dried piss of one of these plasters. Of course, revenge had to be served. We got one brave apprentice to walk down the corridor where the plasters were working while draped in a Soviet Union flag.
Oh, fucking hell.
Where'd he even get that?
Yeah.
As you can imagine, he was met with hurls of abuse, which apparently loosely translated to, "We will shit in your kettle."
Whoa, these lads mean business.
That is specific. And a near physical confrontation. To be fair, the apprentice, who became fondly known as Joseph after former Soviet leader Joseph Stalin, he wasn't alien to confrontation. On a day where the famed billionaire who funded the renovations was on site to see a finished room, he had the misfortune of dropping a ladder in the room above, which caused the chandelier in the room beneath smash into pieces just as said billionaire walked out the door. How he lasted and wasn't thrown off site immediately is beyond us.
Only fools and horses job.
That is a badly fitted chandelier.
Yeah, 100%. You got to question that.
Who put that in?
Lads up there having a good time, you know.
Man, this is the truth. There's 5-star hotels out there that like are so plush and so expensive to stay in. And if you'd have seen what went on when they were being built.
Jesus Christ.
Some, like back in the boom, things were held together with blue tack. There was Pritt stick holding.
The chandelier was just put together with PVC glue.
Yeah. You know, you have used 1 inch of sticky tape.
And I hope, you know, in that story we haven't, obviously we've got a massive listenership in the former Soviet Union. Come and see our gig in, like, I'm going to have to Google the nations of the Soviet.
Where are we? Latvia, Lithuania. All the guys. They would have been, I'd say, once upon a time. Think,
yeah. Serbia and those boys.
Oh, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, all them.
All of the above.
Oh. All
good, sturdy lads. Not to be trifled with.
The brave man walking around in the flag. Those boys are dangerous. A lot of them, like, you know, as my cousin once said, beware of a man who can kick you in the head standing up. So, you know, you got to mind yourself out there. You don't know what, you don't know what's around the corner.
Is that like positive racism? You're assuming that all, everyone from that part of the world can fight.
Have you watched the YouTube videos?
See, you do. You have a fascination with watching lads.
Oh yeah,
fight.
The road rage videos in Russia. It's like a fella pulls in front of the other lad, just two lads kung fuing each other.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Traffic lights, like, yeah. Jumping off the roof, like elbow dropping each other, like, mad stuff. Yeah. In Ireland, we just beep the horn, stick our fingers up.
I will shit in your kettle.
Yeah. Okay. Back to something a little more wholesome now, puberty. Elaine said, I'm a primary school teacher in the east of the country and teach a co-ed 4th class. I'm guessing co-ed is like boys and girls, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Recently, we were covering RSE, Relationships and Sexuality Education, and I have a fair few stories from it. In 4th class, you cover puberty in both boys and girls, so everything from body hair, periods, boobs, penises, wet dreams, the whole lot. I had one boy nearly faint, one vomit, and another cry after covering the video on what happens to boys. I was shook. We had a lovely open conversation about it after, and I'm lucky I have a good class that always talks and discusses things, but they were not well after that, not at all. A few questions that arose from the video was, can my willy fall off? What comes out of your willy in a wet dream? Is a wet dream like peeing in your bed? My baby brother pees in the bed. It went on like that for a while.
But I have to feel that the video obviously wasn't very good at explaining.
No.
Tell the boys about their little swimmers.
Yeah, you got it, yeah. But very entertaining nonetheless. I was lucky I had my mask on to hide my laughter. The girls were great when we were covering what happens to them. They had great questions and were very logical about the whole thing. The boys now, different kettle of fish. Questions that arose. Can boys get periods, miss? Are wet dreams periods for boys? How do I get a period? Why can't I have a penis and a vagina? Can a tampon get lost in your vagina?
Oh.
What if you forgot you have a tampon in your vagina and you leave it in there for years? Young lads, boy, they're unbelievable, aren't they? Again, this went on for a while. So after 2 weeks of consistent question and answer sessions with my eager 4th class, the boys finally understood everything that would happen to both them and the girls. I didn't want them going home thinking their willies would fall off or anything. The best thing after all this was having a parent message me thanking me that I covered everything so that she would never have to have that conversation with her own child.
Can you really fall off? It depends where you're sticking it, lads. Yeah, right.
Fall into a bed of nettles, lad. It's hard to know which one is stinging you.
I don't think they covered that when I was in school.
No, definitely not when I was in school. No, I've said it before in the podcast. Mother just gave me a book called Boy Talk.
Left it to you.
Yeah, or me. Oh, I have friends who were older, just to, you know, explain the crap.
Learned it on the streets.
Yeah. You don't know Wagwan. You Mickey gets hard, man. Stuff comes out. That's how they talk in Ross Grey.
Oh, I'd love to get one of those educational videos done by Shaggy. Like, yeah, girl, tell me what about that deal. Once a month. Yeah, boy, yeah, will they get hard? Need some R&B lad to come in then. Going, girl, why you over there breaking my heart? Yeah, girl, tell me what's the deal.
I think you're getting Shaggy and Sean DePaul mixed up, lad. Yeah, you've... Shaggy's more like, you know, but she caught me on the counter.
Oh, wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Now we're talking, yeah.
Then you want to turn them and turn into a killer. That wasn't bad.
That was really good.
Jer said, I got a story for you.
Man, Maura, can we put in a message? Can we put in an interview request for Shaggy?
Yeah, come on.
Or failing that, we'll take Sean Paul if he's around.
We've already asked Pitbull several times. Jer said, I got a story for you now about the whole puberty crack. Well, it must have been when I was in 6th class. And of course, you were really interested back then in two things, ball and women.
Yeah, they both go hand in hand.
And Jer, let me know when you grow out of that.
Yeah.
We're expecting it any day now.
Speak well, for yourself.
One lad in our class, to this day, he's the horniest man in Ireland. If it moves, he'd be up on it. So anyway, Andy used to disappear into the Jackson school 3 to 4 times a day to pump one out of him.
Jesus.
This is incredible.
In 6th class?
three times a day.
The young man's blind now, 100%. Andy's got massive glasses. He's got no vision in his right eye. Andy's certified blind. No one knows why.
Well, the strength in his right arm. He went on to be a pitcher.
Yeah, he actually
professional baseball.
Actually true for the Boston Red Sox.
A machine of a lad. He said it helped him concentrate.
He's in sixth class. Like, is it like, oh, religion up next? Fucking learning the Our Father. Jesus. I can't do those confirmation hymns without having that. You know, I just have to straighten myself out.
A Tom Hank. It was like clockwork. 20 minutes after the break, he'd be in. So one day, me and the lads decided to set him up. Took weeks of planning. We said we'd cut a hole in the teacher's water bottle so it would spill all over him and he'd have to get some paper towels, thus disturbing Andy in the toilet. You did this in your school, put a little holes.
Yeah, that was in secondary school. We wouldn't have the brains to do that in sixth class.
Andy went into the toilet to rub one out. 5 minutes later, teacher takes a swig at the water bottle, spills on him. Our eyes winced because we knew this was it. Andy was getting caught. And we had loosened the screws and the lock of the door so any sort of a push would open it. What happened next, we did not expect. Our teacher burst into the toilet door like a bouncer in Coppers and didn't poor old Andy blow his load at the exact moment. And his words were, "Lads, we made eye contact." Nothing ever happened of it. Nothing more was said between Andy and our teacher till he left school in his own words. And his words were, "Keep it in your pants, it'll get you in trouble." And that's a lesson Andy took with him. No more sneaky Tom Hanks for Andy.
I think the boys have been watching too much Home Alone now. I'm questioning this.
Yes.
And if sounds a bit like...
And if it's true, shame on you, Andy.
Yeah. And if you've made it up, fuck you. There's my... Like...
Three times a day, tell me what's the deal.
But like... I'm assuming that the toilets like in sixth class are in the room.
There must be.
So has the teacher not seen this kid go into the, like, it's pretty negligent teaching
to burst in? Yeah. Well, maybe there's a couple of cubicles in.
Okay. Well, like, you're saying Andy was like just at the sink popping one off.
God, I hope not. This has gone out of hand. Yeah,
if we can get some clarity from Jura who sent this in, please. It's because Jura, I have to say, like, you know, I'm not putting you in for the mug this week because I reckon, you know, you fabricated that a bit. Yeah,
it wouldn't happen to the Soviets, right?
Yeah, Didlows. Neve was in touch. Easter Sunday, my man was cooking the Easter dinner and invited me Nana up as she lives alone and she's part of our bubble. Because it was Easter, we had a few drinks and some of us got more twisted than others. We fed my Nana a load of wine and she decided to let us know that my great Aunt Mary for the past few years has been saying she was going to buy my Nana, as she calls it, a dill-dally. I have to say it... That's a didlaw for listeners of this podcast.
Dildo, yeah.
I have to say it was one of the most awkward Easter dinners I think I'll ever have, as she did proceed to say she didn't want a fancy expensive one, just a simple one with an on and off button. Hope you had a good Easter and never have one as awkward as I just have.
A dildally.
That's from Neve, whose granny is going to be buzzing for the next while.
I wonder at what age do you stop masturbating?
It's an all that. When it turns to powder.
I know people who work in nursing homes and they say that the residents to be at themselves. So
and each other.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, a fair bit of jockeying going on in nursing homes, that.
Yeah, I suppose it's the equivalent of, like, you know, Jimmy Buckley in the Costa del Sol.
Jesus.
Wreaking havoc.
No, I don't mean Jimmy himself, I mean the guest. Jesus Christ. Although if you buy the platinum package, I think
oh, Jesus.
Jimmy serenades you while you do it.
Jimmy stands at the end of the bit.
Yeah, but think of a nursing home. Like, most of the people in there are probably single.
Mm. Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's... I never wanted to go to a nursing home until now.
You know it.
Not now, I mean, when I'm older.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, after Joe Brawley last week telling us how he trash-talked the goalkeeper in a game, one email said... he wants to find out more things that people have said on the pitch. He said, for example, "I recall playing an under-14 match where a mother of one of our players shouted at one of the other lads, 'You have a face I'd never tire of baiting.'"
Wow, my mother must have been at one of those games.
the worst thing your mother ever said in the sideline?
Oh, God. I don't know. I think she threatened the referee with calling Tip FM one time. His performance was that bad. Like, there was a load of mothers after the match were like, we're going to ring Fran Curry about you. It's like, I can imagine Fran having them on the next day just being like, so how bad was the referee's performance? You know, a load of disgruntled mothers on the sideline. Yeah, brilliant. I think that's a thread.
Yes.
That can keep going and going, the trash talk one. So tell us, like, what's been said to you or what you've said during a game.
Yes, get them in, lads.
Get your trash talk into us. Right, who's going to get the Two Johnnies podcast mug that's sponsored by KSC Sports, who sell all the lovely Two Johnnies merchandise? Going to have some new merch dropping. Don't forget, if you're a Patreon member, get 10% off the merch.
Maura, who'd you like for the mug?
I think the poor teacher who has to answer questions about Willie's falling off.
Yeah, 100%. So Elaine, Willie falling off, if you can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details, Maura, I'll get you hooked up with the mug. We get out you as fast as we can. Weekly roundup, John boy. What's been going on, Two Johnnies land? Another week of emptiness.
They've announced the Gaz coming back.
The Gaz coming back. The intercounty Gaz.
I went out to poke a few balls off the wall the other day and have the new dog. He's not quite getting the crack with the ball, like. So I'd drop the ball and I'd be poking it, and then he'd be in around me under my feet, drop the ball, didn't I pull on the dog.
Ooh.
Wore the hurley off my accident.
I bet you didn't come back.
Oh, straight back.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
I went to give him a little scrap like leftover chicken the other day, and herself was like, I don't know if he'd eat that, there's barbecue on it. I said, look, he ate the USB cable off the telly. He ate the Christmas lights while they were plugged in and on. They were juiced with electricity.
Man.
Nom, 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 nom.
Man. Like, I can't help thinking, like, you know, if your dog, if you were to, like, compare him to a human, he's not going to go to college, I'd say. He's probably looking at an apprenticeship at best, like.
He's more of a glamour model.
I didn't know.
He's going to be in the doggy version of Love Island. He's a good-looking dog.
Bark Island.
Yeah, there you go. Woof, woof.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to, you know.
You've had a run-in with a repairman, John.
Oh, I haven't had a run in. I've obviously, you know, I've sent my Rottweiler out to deal with that.
An emissary.
Yeah, I sent out the front line of our house, who is of course Annie. 6 weeks ago, today, the washing machine broke. Right, it's, you know, not a major deal. All right, washing machine's gone. So we rang this lad. It just kept filling up with water. Your man was like, "Oh, I'll come out like tomorrow." I was like, grand. So a week later, he comes to the house. I was like, well, at least look, a week without the washing machine, it's not the worst. We're using Annie's mother's washing machine.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm like, make sure, like, you know, Annie, that you put them in the washing machine now and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to, like, Annie's mother see my skid marks. You know what I mean? Or anything else that might be fucking.
I think you need Emer the teacher, lad, explaining the crack.
Spend another wipe my arse. But so your man came out after a week and was like, you need a pressure switch.
All right.
It's like, I've got no idea what that is anyway. And he went on to YouTube, was like, I wonder, could I fit it in? I was like, listen, let's leave it to the professionals.
Get it.
So your man's like, I'll order a switch and it'll be here in 3 or 4 days. So like, it was looking at 2 weeks there. And then, like, Annie rang him every day. Been like, "Where? What's the crack like?" So for a finish, I think they blocked her number. And then she was like, right, I'm going to fuck them. I'm going to ring him, fuck him over, and I'll get someone else to do it. So then, finally, we got this other lad.
He done it.
Lad, he wasn't in the house 4 minutes. Oh. I swear to God, literally came in and was like, put the pressure switch on, turn on the washer. She's like, there you are now, lads, thanks a minute.
Much?
90 quid. Yeah, but like, Jesus, I wanted the washing machine going. Like, I would have just paid that. Like.
The funniest thing was your man said, I'll ring you when I get the part. And she said, no, I'll ring you every day.
The best was, like, she was like, your man told her what the part was. And she was like, she went online and was like, I'm going to buy the part. And then just ring your man and be like, I have the part, get out and put it in. So do not mess with that woman, lad.
But she's lovely, in fairness to her.
Yeah, she is. But, like, you know what I mean? No, she's right. Like, you see, I wouldn't have the balls to be ringing him up and being like, listen, you told me you were going to do this now. It's, you know, it's going on 6 weeks here now.
Okay.
So if anybody's looking for a ganger for their site or end, I'll sub her out.
Motivational speaker. If you haven't signed up for our Patreon podcast yet, what are you doing?
What are you doing with your life?
What's your deal?
What's this guy's deal?
On last week's extra podcast number 55, we were talking about hangover cures. At number 5, full Irish breakfast.
The real greasy, runny eggs.
There's some science behind the eggs. I don't know what it is. It's not that kind of podcast.
Number 4 is a chicken roll and a can of something fizzy.
Do you ever just be craving something that makes you go...
Yeah.
Number 3, the healthy stuff. A hape multivitamins, fruit, Dior Light, orange juice.
Someone told me that you have to have this before you go to bed. That's the last thing I'm thinking of. And if I throw that concoction into my body before I go to bed, hello the spinnies.
I know a man, he sleeps with one foot on the ground to stop himself getting the spinnies.
Number 2, swim. This is obviously better if you're in like a foreign country.
Swim cure you.
It's body temperature has to be. That's the water. Number 1, lad, we had a little bit of debate over this now, but you swear by it and you reckon you've got science to back it up.
Exercise. Go GAA training. Have an elderly man shout abuse at you for 75 minutes. You come off the field, you're covered in sweat, you've probably done yourself an injury, and you're out for 7 months. But the hangover's gone.
That is true, but I am too old now for that.
And then an honourable mention for a hangover cure, drink less.
Or give up the drink.
Give up the drink.
Yeah. Sanford Meisner, who was one of the greatest acting teachers of the last century, said it takes 20 years to make an actor. That means...
Yeah, but you could do like 2 years in Athlone IT.
100%. Pretend to be a barman. Then you could just get cast as a barman in a film. But that means, John, it's looking like we've got 15 years to go before we're capable of handling a role in Fair City.
Aww.
I want to be Billy Meehan's son. But with this in mind, we've decided to discuss acting.
Yes. We love acting, we love films. It amazes us that some people go through years of drama college and then theatre and all this, people doing speech and drama in school, and then some other lad was like, oh, I was just walking down the street, headbutting a fella, and like a director seen it and was like, you'll be perfect. It's amazing. Mm. It's the Wild West of an industry.
100%. I have been known in the past to tread the boards. I've dabbled in some acting.
Have you? You've
yeah.
Stage?
Yeah.
Stage and screen?
Yeah, a star of stage and screen, I want to be known.
What
as,
did you no? do?
I, of course, played the most famous role of Simple Simon in the Kerr Pantomimes production of... Fucking hell, what was it? Simple Simon.
Was it Mother Goose?
It was Mother Goose. It was, because there was a poor girl who was in a... can only be described as a wooden box for 2.5 hours every night with doing the puppet. Like, she was brilliant at it. Like.
Huh?
Yeah, she was a puppet, right? Mother Goose was a puppet. And then someone had to get into a little box. Like, you know, Mother Goose would be wheeled on stage.
You get
how puppets were.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you were there, yeah. Yeah, you didn't look too impressed. Johnny was sitting in the front row, fucking scowling for the whole thing. I was like, this isn't meant to be Shakespeare. But it was a very convincing role I played as Simple Simon. It didn't take a whole lot of method acting.
It was you were uncanny.
Uncanny, lad, in my portrayal of such a flawed character, you would say.
I don't know how people remember all those lines.
It was fair tough, lad. Now, honestly, there was 100-something pages of dialogue. Like, yeah. And I was in more scenes. I was in one of the four leads. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, if Spielberg is somehow tunes into this podcast.
Did you get nominated for any awards?
No, I wish there was awards. Like, I should have just made my own award and just been like, the Oscar for Kerr Pantomime goes to Johnny Smacks.
Having a night down the hotel?
Yeah.
Rent out Kerr House Hotel?
I was kind of sickened. Like, there surely is some sort of panto awards in Ireland.
Yeah, but I think you have to be doing theatres, not Procol Halls, to qualify, like.
Yeah, but we don't have a theatre in Kerr.
Yeah, because it's not a big enough production.
I'm going to build a theatre. Okay. Run my own panto.
The Johnny Smack School of Acting. You pay €1,000 and then he's like, right, go get some life experience. Do you remember once a guy paid us to do an ad and we had to read out a couple of lines and it was at that moment we realised I'm terrible at remembering lines.
Oh, yeah. What was that for?
The ad it was like something out in the Hurley Workshop. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Smacks would say his line and then I'd be like, what?
Mara, not even messing though. He was literally like two lines each. Like, and like, your man was like, yeah, just, if you just say a line. Johnny was like, yeah. And then Johnny was like, give me a gist of what I have to say there because like, you know, I don't want to be like, I was like, it's like basically two lines. Just learn them off and just say it. See that camera? Just say them to the camera.
I can't do it. I have to say it in my own way. I was trying to, you know.
You need to stop saying this now because, like, someone's going to be listening to this, probably having us in mind for a hit blockbuster film, like, and you're just been like, well, I don't do lines.
Well, no, I didn't get time to really delve into the character. I didn't really understand why I was selling that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Disappointing.
Yeah.
You lost us that gig, man.
No, no, I didn't.
What did we get each? 50 quid?
I think so, yeah. Early days, you know?
I don't know where that ad is, but if it ever resurfaces, I will be leaving the country.
Got to start somewhere. I like the method acting.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody knows, like, Daniel Day-Lewis is a big one about this. He gets into it and he basically stays in it. Which is mental.
So when he was Christy Brown in My Left Foot, like, was he just going around like that? For
yeah. They had to carry him from scene to scene.
Man, I wonder what Daniel...
People had to spoon feed him.
Jesus. I wonder what Daniel Day-Lewis would have made of Cher's version of My Left Foot, which is done for Telethon 1990. If you get a second, look it up on YouTube. I'll tell you right now, though, you wouldn't get away with it nowadays.
It's a bit it's inappropriate.
It'd be certainly frowned upon nowadays. anyway, back to Daniel Day-Lewis,
and Jamie Foxx as well. While he was filming Ray Charles, went around the whole time with his eyes closed.
Jesus,
yeah, banging into stuff and all. He said at the start he was fair tick, and then after a while, he actually said his hearing improved.
Wow,
I thought that was a myth, but like, who's got the balls to try it, to walk around with their eyes closed?
Do you ever try and like close your eyes and walk in a straight line?
No.
I don't know why this stuff is going through my head. I was like out walking a while ago and I was like, Annie, don't hold me now, like, but just tell me if I'm going to like walk into something. I should try it for crack. I tell you, try that. Fair hard.
Okay.
Fucking seriously hard.
Okay.
Can I just say a podcast disclaimer? Don't do that in heavy traffic or, you know.
Yeah. No, you want to just go into it, like, just a field or something.
Yeah. And there's all the classical techniques where they say you're... genuine reactions in imaginary situations. Mm. I like the one that Clint Eastwood does. It's the Chekhov technique. So he kind of focuses on the internal problem the character's having and then expresses it through his movements. Do you ever look at like Clint Eastwood's face?
Yeah.
When he's acting. His face does more acting than his voice.
He doesn't have any Botox.
He just scowls. Mm. I'd love to see him playing like a GA manager. Some lad puts a point wide and it just cuts to Clint Eastwood's face and he
plays a lot of the same characters, Clint Eastwood, like kind of unhappy old guy. Generic unhappy old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Christopher Walken. He's Christopher Walken in every film.
Even that one where he's supposed to be Irish. He's still Christopher Walken.
Yeah. 100%. In Wedding Crashers, like, I never understood why they cast him for that role.
He's just cool.
Yeah, he's...
If I was making a movie, I definitely want to hang out with Christopher Walken.
She'd be like, well, you don't have a role in the film, Chris, but you're a bit of crack.
What's paying you to be here?
Yeah, just...
Harrison Ford, he's the same in every film, as is Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is like one set.
Tom Cruise.
It's like, how Tom Cruise you want me to be? Oh, I will never go full Tom Cruise.
You never go full. They put him in that movie, Jack Reacher, where he goes around like baiting the heads of half America. Tom Cruise is small. Like.
Yeah, not going to happen. Like.
Not going to happen.
He was in that American Made as well. Right. Where he was going to be like, you know, moving cocaine on like planes and stuff like that. Yeah. No, he was just Tom Cruise again. Like, it was like, oh, wow, Tom Cruise is selling coke. Like for the first 10 minutes of the film, I was like, is this a documentary? Is Tom Cruise selling cocaine to people here? And then I was like, oh, Tom Cruise is acting. I get it, yeah. Took me a while, but yeah, I got there.
Yes. What movie, like role, would you have loved to have played?
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street, man.
Jordan Belfort?
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Mm. Why that role?
Because he's just fucking cool. Cool too. And obviously he's been opposite Margot Robbie. He's probably the main shtick there.
Do you reckon when his agent rang him, it's like, look, Leo, you're not getting paid, but...
Oh, 100%, yeah. He was like, who's playing? All right. Yeah. And we'll drop a zero off the paycheck. I would like that role. Energetic. High energy. You know what I mean? And then he's up and down as well, which is nice. So like, I imagine that would be a nice role to play, as in like, there's times when he's like completely like...
Or he's got a wide range.
Yeah, going crazy on drugs. And then other times when he's like pretty businessy. And plus, I love that scene where he's like, where he cold calls the person and he's showing the rest of the boys. And he's like, this is Jordan Belfort. I'm Assistant Vice President of Stratton Oakmont. And a great offer just came across my table right now. And I just want, have you got a second, John? Have you got a second? Yeah, I just want to take you through it. You're telling me if I put you in at 16 and take you out at 32, that you're not going to say, oh, Jordan, you're a great guy. Wow. And then your man's like, whoa, yeah. Man, put me in. How much you want to do, John? And then he's like, put me in for 6. Let's try 10. That's me, man. And then, like, at the same time, he's like letting on that he's actually riding your man.
He's fingering
him. He's fingering him. Stuff. Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. That's me, man. Yeah, 100%. I'm not leaving. Freaking out. That's me, but I can go like, yeah, 0 to 90. Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me, man. Do not tempt me. Yeah, that would be the role now I'd be looking for.
Okay.
That or else like a soccer film.
Oh, yeah.
Because it wrecks my head that, like, you know, they cast lads and it's like, oh, yeah, he's an American footballer and he's like stick skinny and can't run. It's like, don't, you got to cast someone who's got a bit of sport and prowess.
Something about them.
Yeah, I'm putting myself in there. I if anybody wants to make a film.
Same loads of music films. They get some actor on stage and his hands are just doing nothing and the guitar's going 90.
Bar Bradley Cooper.
He learned
the guitar. He was handy. Good singer. Yeah, that's a strange one.
Yeah, but I still have a problem. He was supposed to be a raging alcoholic and he did 6-pack.
Yeah, that's not realistic. You need to be like stick skinny because you're not eating or else you'd be fat.
You'd be bloated, yeah.
Yeah.
Going on, banging into stuff. Maura, I'd love to see you in a movie. Like, any role that you'd love to play?
Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. I'd love to mess with the samurai swords. Yeah, that'd be cool.
I can just see you chopping lads up. Yeah.
Maura would be cast in a film where she just kills all men. Just no. It's basically like Maura versus the universe.
Andy.
Yeah.
Uma Thurman kills women as well. So.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to know that, you know, you won't be discriminating in this future role.
Yeah, everybody dies. I'd love to be in any of the Tarantino movies.
Yeah?
Like, Samuel L. Jackson makes the big speech out of the Bible.
Or do you want to be Samuel L. Jackson?
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that I'd be as good as Samuel L. Jackson, but I should be given a chance at this stage, I reckon. I think I've earned
it. You've earned it, man, yeah? Yeah? 3 years of podcast. You're having a laugh. You should definitely be an actor.
Oh, that is a tasty burger.
That's
big kahuna burger. That's the Hawaiian joint. Right. I can't redo it now.
Bro. Yeah, you're hired, man. That's a good Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson, again, is the same in every movie. And I'd love to put him in new scenarios. Like, yeah.
Like Fair City. Samuel L. Jackson in Fair City.
Why can't Samuel L. Jackson be James Bond back? Shaking, not stirred, motherfucker! Bond! James Bond, motherfucker! Where's the diamonds, bitch?
I want to see him in Fair City, like chatting to Bella Doyle. You know, Bella's like, oh, Jesus, you know, the wicked bad me arthritis. And then he's like,
you ain't paid your motor tax, motherfucker! I see you in McCoy's. Smart piece of shit.
Maura, do you think we'd get a role in Fair City?
Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow, you said that really convincingly as if, like, you know.
It's not glamorous, like, gig. Mm. Do you know, you're out the back of RTE in, like, beside the car park filming. You know, it's not.
I've looked a load of times, though. Where's the new set? Because anytime I'm in RTE, like, myself and Johnny just start walking around and, like, we're getting right buzz off seeing, like, the old McKay's and all that. Like,
yeah.
You know, we were like, oh, it's, yeah, getting photos and all that. Like
yeah, it's about 200 metres further down than the old one. So you just have to go to the old one and then keep walking to the right. And it's down there.
Well, we will find it the next time, and we will create havoc.
I've got a schedule here. This is Josh Siegel. Apparently, he's a very famous actor.
Apparently,
this is his day when he's on set. Alarm goes off 5:20 in the morning. Right, so straight away we've got an issue.
What time?
5:20 in the morning.
I take it back. I don't want to be an actor anymore.
You only get up that early if you're going to the airport.
Oh yeah, for airport points too.
He's on set. Is it 7? He's drive an hour and then get a shuttle bus to the set, checks in with the assistant director, the AD, gets the breakfast. During breakfast, they might take measurements for a costume. After getting fitted, he goes to hair and makeup for 40 minutes. That'd suit you all right now.
Yeah.
He arrives on set, checks in with the director, gets a revised script, rehearses a few scenes a few times, goes back to his trailer to learn his new lines. 20 minutes later, the PA calls him to the set. The camera crew rehearse their movements once more. Hair and makeup and wardrobe do a final check.
Jesus.
He sets up. Action is called. 2 lines are delivered. Then they shout cut and the lights need to be replaced. The light is then replaced. Then they start from the beginning. After a few more takes from different angles, it's time to move on. They get two shots done before it's time for the crew to change the lighting setup. Jesus Christ. He said he reckons he spends 10% of his time acting and the rest waiting around.
Oh, fucking that would do your head in.
Get your head in?
I get frustrated doing a music video.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I'd be like, stop. Like, I remember one that walked in the door a lot of times. I was like, have you got the shot, man? I was like, one more time. It's gonna fucking give you one more time.
It's amazing to explain to people that there's so many things going on. Like, the light has to be right, the focus on the camera, and the camera is tracking a certain way. And then you as an actor, think of all the things though, man. Like, you'd have to express so many emotions with your face, get your lines right, your eyes would have to be looking the right way, everyone in the background would have to be right, you'd be very stressed out.
It's hard. Like, we haven't done a whole pile of acting, but like, remember in our Christmas special where we done like recreated all the Christmas movies?
Yeah, not my finest acting.
Yeah, never mind. But like, there was one bit where I had to be like Hans Gruber in Die Hard.
Yeah.
And or who was
it? No, you
no
were
I was fucking
John McClane.
Yeah, McClane. And I literally just had to get up off the ground and then like move in like a semicircle and put my back to the camera. That was it. That was the Jesus Christ. Everyone was losing their mind. The director was like, no, like this. I was like, listen, pal. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not fucking like, because like, to me, I was like, get up off the ground, get the gun and just say me line. And I was like, I jump up off the ground, move, do the line. Your man be like, no, you came too far. I'd be like, oh, fucking done it around six times. And in the end, he was like, yeah, that's perfect. There's no way it was perfect. Like, there was no way it was perfect. Everyone's getting frustrated. And you feel bad because there's a load of camera crew and everyone's there. Like, and like, now in fairness, that was a rush job.
It was extremely a rush job, but there's no word of a lie. All these people are here. Like, look, they're all looking at you.
Mm.
I mean, even ours is only a TV show.
Also.
Oh, the cameraman.
Also, just let people in behind the curtain. Do you know the Love Actually scene where I had to like unfurl the placards, like with like, you know,
a word on each one, or yeah, a question, or, on, each
yeah,
one,
question
yeah.
on each one, like your man doesn't love Ashley.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to take the sheets out and throw them away. Honestly, they kept sticking together.
Yeah.
And in the end, a woman had to lie across the ground in front of me, and it looked like I'm holding them, but it's actually her hands that are holding them, and I'm just throwing them away. It was brilliant. They were like, they're pure idiot proof and everything for me. Like, I was like, jeez. Like, the first time I stood up, I was like, oh, shit. And then I was getting all nervous and my hands were sweaty. I was like, oh, please. They were like, we'll get someone to do that for you. I was like, yeah, there we go.
Because there's about 10 people staring at you.
Oh, lads, honestly. So you've got, it's so nerve-wracking.
And they're all like, okay, I finally got the camera focused exactly the way I want.
Yeah, your man
and,
focuses lines up
there. Yeah. And we're thinking like, I didn't know it was going to be this many people I would have rehearsed. How do you reckon you get on in the sex scene?
I'd probably just do it for real. Like, you got to get into character.
You know? Can't be just having sex.
No, the most interesting thing when we were doing research for this was that I found that there's like, what is it called? A nude, like it's covers your bits.
Oh, they wear a thing?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, same kind of color as your skin.
Makes you look like Action Man.
Yeah, it's like a big plaster. You could just pulls everything back.
Oh, wow.
That would be strange to have on. But like,
you couldn't be rubbing up against some actress like.
Like, it'd be awkward if you had to have bad sex. Do you know, like the in-betweeners where your man is actually lying on top of her and just like plank kind of on top of her. That would be embarrassing. But like, in all fairness, if you're doing this, like people, they say, like actors have said, you very rarely get aroused or acting like that, and it's all quite professional.
Because
and some of it's proper, like rehearsed, as in where you're going to throw her on the bed, she's going to flip you over, you flip her over, then like three truss.
Yeah, she shouldn't be flipping you over.
You never know. You never know.
Depends on the movie.
Could be fucking real aggressive. But you know what? It's like you're going to give seven truss and then you're going to let on to, you know.
Yeah.
It's proper rehearsed, where it's like, you know what I'm just going for? When you bit of fire, like, get over there.
I'd like to say to them, is it kind of like a podcast? Look, let us at it and then you edit it afterwards. You know, just get as much footage as you can and it'll all piece together.
You'd have to be so, I'd be paranoid, like, to be a smell off me, right? Oh, yeah. You know, imagine that, like.
Because you'd be sweating.
Yeah, you would. You'd see the sweating I was doing trying to do Love Actually. Some sweating. If someone was like, well, there's Margot Robbie, or like, you know,
yeah,
Uma Thurman or someone, jump into bed there, like, sorry, sorry. I just became sorry all the time. sorry, is that, sorry, 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 sorry. That's it. Like, that's all I'd be saying, like, would be just, jeez, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, sorry.
You okay there?
Yeah.
But they reckon you don't really, a lot of lads say they don't get on a boner because there's a cameraman right in your face.
You'd probably be so nervous, yeah.
A heap of people around you.
Yeah. You know, I watched that Louis through on porn.
Be like having sex at the plowing match or something, you know? We got a couple of those texts. Yeah. Lads riding out the back of the plowing match.
Do you see that Louis Trude on porn stars, like?
Yeah.
And your man just can't get the horn. Like, there's around 25 people watching him. Like,
yeah.
Fucking hell. That's
stunt cock.
Yeah, that's 100%, lad. A stunt finisher, lad. That's what we have.
We bring him in for the big finale. You got to see this guy's jizz. That's amazing.
But honestly, acting like, as much as we're making out that we could be brilliant actors, like, it is some craft, like, and there is some effort goes into it. Like, I mean, people completely transform for roles, like.
Oh, man, the craziest one I've seen is Christian Bale, who himself is quite the intense man. He lost 60 pounds.
Jesus Christ. What's that in euros?
Four stone.
Oh, man.
Fuck.
He's, and like, what film that was for?
The Machinist.
Oh, he's gone to nothing. Just looking at a photo of it here, lads, if you Google it, it's actually scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary. Jesus, he's gone to nothing.
He was eating a tin of tuna and an apple a day.
Not advised, lads.
No.
Not wow. advised.
And then he bulked right back up for Batman.
Yeah, he was a beast for Batman now.
Huge.
For a finish. He was a big man for Batman now at the end. Christ almighty. Chris Hemsworth, lad, you have a theory on this.
Well,
Thor.
They said that he put on 9 kg for Thor. But I'm looking at the two photos and like,
lad, one of his arms are around 9 stone, I say.
I put on 9 kg over lockdown. Like, he looks like he's put on about 30 kg.
It's
I follow him on Instagram and he does train like an absolute lunatic. But all these people, straight away I'm thinking they're on steroids.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking, like, if someone said to me, I'll give you 2 million there to, like, you know, get a six pack, like, I would get that six pack. You know what I mean? Like, they're as much as it's tough what they put their body through, like, a lot of them are getting well, but very well paid. Like, they're like, so there's some money, like, look at what The Rock earned last year, like.
Much.
In the name of Christ, was it 87 million? 87.5 million The Rock got last year.
What?
87 million. That's some paper, lad. You know what I mean? Like, Care Pantomime got me 2 dinners and a flake of pints. And I thought, like, well, it's not going to get much better than this. 87 million. Ryan Reynolds, 71. Mark Wahlberg, 58.
There's good people there from Bollywood. I don't know who they are making big money.
Will Smith, 44 million. Like, Adam Sandler got 41 million in 2020.
What's he even doing?
He hasn't brought out good films as Happy Gilmore. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he's just cruising.
41 million, I tell you, nothing wrong with that, lad.
One sec, the person in the best shape I ever saw in a film is Zac Efron in Baywatch.
Yeah, like, I'd say.
And I've been watching his documentaries and all, and he's big into healthy eating and all that, working out and all, but like, how is he doing that naturally?
I'd say he's not going like drive through at Supermax like when he's stuck for a bit of grub.
No, he's not on the pinteens.
No, definitely not.
And Tom Hardy, when he was training for Bronson,
yeah,
which is an amazing film. So Bronson was like locked in jail. So he did all these mad prison workouts, which is why he has like big forearms and he's got that like strongman shape.
Mm. He's got some big wide chest on him there.
Fucking big bastard.
An attractive fucker.
Women love Tom Hardy.
Jesus, they do. See him in Legend Boy with the suit. Even though he's playing a crazed maniac murderer.
He still like, would
you'd probably, you'd go on a date with him anyway. Like, you know, you'd have a one night stand with him. Probably.
Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. But no, I'm saying as the crazed.
Yeah, but even if he came was like, I want to take your mom out for dinner, he'd be like, look, man,
you're Tom Hardy.
Tom, what are you doing? Where are you going?
And then he's like, I'm never going to ring her again. And you'd be like, Joe, I wouldn't fucking bother either, Tom. I wouldn't bother either, you know?
And the makeup drives me insane. We had Jennifer Lawrence in X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
All the blue shit all over her.
That is frustrating, though.
8 hours a day in makeup.
Makeup's frustrating. Do you know what? You need a good makeup artist. I found that like when we do different shows and stuff, like it's like you want to have a good one. Like, in fairness, I don't think they liked you too much for the Christmas one.
No, because my makeup, like, is scandalous.
Your makeup is horrendous. I like the girl in RT in Cork.
Yes, she's
a bit of crack.
What's Isha Distin? How are you doing?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Jim Carrey, it was 8 hours a day for The Grinch.
Oh, fuck.
They brought in a lad who worked for the CIA. He used to like coach people how to survive torture. They brought him in to coach Jim Carrey on how to sit there for 8 hours a day while getting makeup put in his face. And then your one who was putting the makeup on him had to go for therapy after dealing with Jim Carrey for 8 hours a day.
Jesus Christ. That's crazy.
That'd be the worst thing ever, I think, if they came and were like, great lads, you're getting to do a movie. Yes, you have to put on 2 stone of fat.
Oh, you having a laugh.
That'd be terrible.
That'd be brilliant. They're like, Johnny, you got to put on 2 stone of fat. I'd be like, when are we recording? 6 months. Bring it forward. To when? Next Wednesday. 2 stone you want it on? No problem. I'd put that on the weekend for you, pal. Imagine, like all my life, it's been like, oh, God, I just can't eat that now, you know, because fuck, I'm not putting on weight. It'll finally be like, well, I'm doing it for a reason. I'd be having kebabs for breakfast.
Yeah, but
washed down with Haagen-Dazs.
You'd have to lose it all then afterwards.
Yeah, but like I'd have a million in the bank.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's pretty good. Like it's a good trade off. Jesus Christ.
See Chris Hemsworth or Chris Pratt when he was doing his role for Parks and Recreation, drinking Haagen-Dazs every time he was thirsty. That's extreme.
I like Haagen-Dazs now, but it'd be tough to drink.
He's trying to put on the weight real fast, drinking Haagen-Dazs instead of water.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that like...
Is Haagen-Dazs really that bad?
No, this is like...
Uh-oh.
If your parents catch you smoking and they make you smoke a whole pack to put you off.
Okay, right. Old school parenting.
We should just be in a film.
Yeah, I wish someone would cast us. Why don't we make our own film?
In a world surrounded by fear,
yeah,
one man must train to make the junior team.
Imagine that, lad. And it's like, this summer, coming to a dressing room near you.
He'll never make it, that fella. He's useless.
Johnny B is Johnny B in the hit blockbuster Junior B All-Star. And then, like, I'm like...
Might make one about Paddy Fong or something.
Oh, lad.
They said he wouldn't be around. They said he'd drink oil. And then just be someone shouting, like, that fella, he's never around. You know? And then the tires of the Aster come up and it's like, Paddy Fong is the delivery man. This summer, one man, one Astra. He must fight to survive. Jean-Claude Van Damme is
Paddy Fong.
Paddy Fong.
Oh man, I love it.
Rated.
Yeah, it's got to be his 18s plus, lad.
Mila Kunis as Caramel.
Samuel L. Jackson as Noel Furlong.
Drive it, motherfucker.
That's a fact, motherfucker. I love it. Man, honestly, before we finish though, do you think we could be actors? Like, because there is lads, like Harry Styles there. He was in Dunkirk. What would he know about acting? Vinnie Jones used to play soccer for Wimbledon.
Yeah.
He became an actor. Like, his first role was Lock, Stock.
Actually, yeah.
Will Smith, he was a rapper.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, rapper.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of comedians.
We brought out The Boom Was Back. That was rapping.
Shift is kind of rap.
Yeah. I think there could be a future there for us.
We could be just a couple of rap songs away from an Oscar.
Before we'd done this topic today, I was at home researching. I said to Annie, do you think I'd make a good actor? And she just said, your whole life's an act, and walked out the door. I said, act two, bitch.
Well, guess who's not getting nominated for best supporting role?
No, honestly, lad. When I used to work in the butcher counter, that was just all a complete act, like a YouTube.
He was this humble butcher. She just wanted chops.
No, honestly, that was just, it's all that.
They said the mince was gone off. He said it'd be grand. Fuck it in a pot, you tramp.
This summer, Johnny Smacks is
in a town that ran on mince.
We've gone too deep now. Right, what are we putting ourselves forward here? What are we looking for? Like, the country cousins? Maybe we're brothers and sisters. Are we gay lovers? I don't know.
Why wouldn't I
me and you both have to be cast in the same thing?
I
like.
Prefer if we weren't gay lovers.
That'd be a bit of crack, though, wouldn't it?
That could be a start.
Yeah.
Maybe we could be in Can we give Mrs. Brown's boys a ring? Would they make, let us make a cameo?
I'd be happy enough with that, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Fair City, like something at, like I'm obviously like, you know, my end goal here is to play Danny Dyer's son in EastEnders. You know, that's what I'm aiming for.
Long lost.
Yeah, just walk in, just be like, oh, Dad, sweet ass. Yeah, and we just strut around play some waistcoats, just being real cool. Yeah, that's kind of my ultimate goal. Maybe we could play cops, lad.
Guards.
Yeah, well, I know, it has to be in America because we'd have to have like a soft top convertible. We'd be like Bad Boys, but like, okay, maybe we could do Bad Boys, Irish version, like Nabucodonosor Donna. Like, and I'd be going around just being like, it's Misha Mac Lowry. Yeah? You like that? We wear vests. And
okay.
And tags. You know those like army tags?
So we're detectives?
Yes. We don't wear uniforms.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should read it, Mark. Can we put an interview request for Ted Hastings? I know, sure. Adrian Dunbar. We just get him on, talk to him about acting.
Man.
Listen here, fella.
No, you make a movie about two Irish guards going around like to GA matches and funerals.
Just shaking hands.
Yeah, roadworks.
Okay. Man, that's a sexy film, man.
Yeah.
You've got a sexy hook there. If there is any like actual professional actors or just actors in general who are listening to this podcast,
yeah,
let us know. Like, we're obviously completely off the mark because we're, you know, we're just having a crack. But like,
what goes on set?
Mm.
How you get a role? That's the toughest thing about acting, man.
How do you get a role? You must want a real good agent.
Yeah. It's terrible. Like in so many other industries, like comedy or whatever, you can do open mic nights or singer-songwriter nights, whatever. You can record your own stuff. But as an actor, you really need someone to pick you.
Yeah. I'd say as time goes on, a lot of people, like, you know, who do stuff on the internet, that will just start getting cast and stuff. Because like it's like a self-tape, like. Go on and watch. Like, now if you're watching our sketches, you wouldn't be casting us in much.
Yeah, I know, we're terrible actors, but we could be great.
Yeah, we just need a little coaching. We could be there.
Your man who was in Connell, Normal People.
Connell.
What's his name?
Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal, right? He's like one of the most famous men in Ireland now.
Mm.
What if he didn't get the job?
Yeah, he'd be just the chap from the Denny ad saying Ballyhawness.
Do you know what I mean? They're the millimetres.
Yeah, we're ready for the break, lad. Abnormal People. To two Johnny Starrs, Abnormal People.
In a town surrounded by gowls.
Okay, right. I once auditioned for this play thing. It was the Garage Theatre Monaghan. And I did like a general kind of thing. And then I got called back for this part. And there was three girls being cast. And I was middle to go. And the first girl... the first girl and guy, right, they were doing the scene, right, did the scene. And at the end of it, they absolutely... shifted and wore the face off each other. I mean, like, God. I went into panic attack. I was like, I'm not able for that. And then, like, the girl behind me, she's just like, she must have seen my face because she just goes to me, it's okay, they're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh.
Jesus. And I was like, she, what's the point of me auditioning this? He's like, they're not going to not cast his girlfriend in the role. Like, you know.
Did you get the role, Mara?
No.
Did you shift your man?
No.
Did you audition?
I did, yeah. But I was just like, I think I was like, look, I'll just read to this point because I was so like awkward, like kissing a guy in front of his girlfriend. Yeah. So I was
that
like,
would be weird in fairness.
Yeah.
Did you ever audition for anything else? Any other acting experience?
I like stuff in school, but like that was like my only thing I've attempted as an adult and it's kind of scarred me since. So I'd love to go back to it. But anyway. Someday
we're going to cast you in something, Maura. I'm telling you, that film about the guards. Right, we're leaving it there. Actors, get in touch. Anybody got any correspondence? Anybody, if you work on film sets, give us crazy stories that we don't know about.
We know you've got them.
Yeah, give us the inside scoop. He claims Christy Moore and Jimi Hendrix got a start in Dan Bryan's band. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
I'm being handed a piece of paper here by Neil. Noel can't make it. He not available. In to deliver the news this week is Mr. Scania 2002 Paddy Fong. Hey, he's in by... like a fellow of a western, he is in. The belly's hanging out, by moustache is preened and looking delightful as ever. Paddy, It's unbelievable to have you in. I cannot believe that you're around. How are you?
Well, John.
Well, Fatty, how are you?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not me, anyway, I won't be around. Not me, anyway, I won't be around.
What a start.
No one can make it.
Yeah, where is he?
I can't see.
Why?
I swore I wouldn't tell you.
Come on, you can tell us, Paddy.
He's
on.
Back training.
No way.
The government said you can't go back training for another month. And Noel said, how many county titles have the government? I said, none, I suppose. He says, they have lads from all over the fucking place. Like. They're pulling them in from all over. All around. He's training the under nine boys.
Oh, jeez.
He tells the parents, it's a birthday party. Social distance, birthday party. And then Thursday at 7:30, there'll be another fucking birthday party. Well, my hand is fucking broke from writing invitations. Children going home black and blue, Noel after flogging them.
Jesus.
2 dozen lads in one ball. It wouldn't be hectic.
Would it not?
I thought he asked me to go down this evening. I said I wouldn't be around.
He's never.
We went shooting during the week.
Go away.
Yeah, they're shooting with Noel. You'd be taking your life in your hands.
Yeah, where'd you go?
I was shooting crows.
Okay.
Donovan was at corn. And the crows ate all the seeds. So I sure Noel only be looking to get out of the house. He'd be shooting for free, you know.
Yeah.
He'd let fly.
Would he?
Noel let fly. We seen a pheasant.
Well.
And Noel was eyeing it up. And I said, Noel, you can't be shooting a pheasant out of season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, no, you can't make a snowman out of season. You shouldn't shoot a pheasant out of season. Like, he'd let fly.
Did he?
He would.
Oh.
Noel would let fly. You know, you'd be trying to hide in a ditch, like, on the bird, you know? Noel would see a hen and he'd shout, clear it off. Should the fucking bird have begun flying, like? It wouldn't be hectic.
No.
No hassle. He got thrown out of the gun club.
Noel did?
Yeah, he called them all communists. Said the chairman was, and I quote, a fucking vegetarian. An awful thing to call a man who shoots.
Oh, a vegetarian?
Yeah. Any fella who's shooting is eating.
Yeah, 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 that's true.
He was lamping deer.
Noel?
Yeah, he shot a deer out the window of the Estra. Yes. He let fly.
Noel let fly.
It wouldn't be hectic, like, you shouldn't be at it. I told him, I told the gun club I wasn't around. Noel, he let fly though, you know?
Yeah.
See, Born or Burn have a set up.
Born or Burn?
Yeah. You know Born or Burn?
No.
For butchering. Oh, he's a serious operator. Don't mess with Born or Burn. The old venison is grand.
Yeah.
You should see Carmel cook by.
Oh, she's good.
Deer, pheasant, duck. Was she ate a rabbit? She would have got it. Well, no hassle. Let it all stand here.
Yeah.
Every morning now, I'd have the cod liver oil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the rainwater.
Rainwater?
Yeah. No, I was telling you.
Yeah.
And I was never sick a day in my life.
Jeez.
Not once.
You swear by it?
Yeah. I got bit by a dog once now. Well, I said, you're barking up the fung tree. I drew a boot in him.
Did you?
I drew a boot in him, yeah. And I fell off a roof another time.
Jeez.
Working with Dunkel. It was a two-story. And I was straight back up the ladder. They said it was like that film about the monkey. King Fong. That's what they call me now.
King Fong.
Yeah. I got a slap of a digger another time.
Go away.
Bucket. Right in the head.
Jeez, that's serious, man.
It wouldn't be hectic. Luckily, it had no long-term effect on me. And my brain,
well,
you know?
That's questionable.
And me long-term memory. But I was never sick a day in my life.
Yes.
No, I got electrocuted on sight one time, though. Okay. Blew me across the fucking shed. They said, how are you? I said, no hassle. I said, you shook me all night long. I was never sick a day in my life, though.
No.
Noel shot me one time.
Jesus, how did that happen?
I was only a few old pellets, you know, no hassle. What doesn't kill you makes you fonger. Only the thong survive. Well, I stopped now.
Yeah.
Father was never sick a day in his life.
No.
Same thing. Jeez. Never sick a day in his life.
Cod liver oil and rainwater.
Yeah. Oh. Well, he had a heart attack all right now.
He had a couple of
heart attacks in fairness to him now. He got up to sing with Dan Bryan one night below in the Hill Bear.
Yeah.
And he started clutching his chest and he was saying, ah, fuck. And I said, yes, he's really getting into it, you know? Ah, fuck. He's having a heart attack.
Was he?
Above the stage.
Jesus.
Ah, fuck. And when he heard my brother, you know, the baby thong.
Yeah.
He heard baby thong paid €1,000 for car insurance.
Yeah.
And he had a heart attack.
Jesus.
Fell down dead.
Jesus.
But he was fine.
Was he?
He was the finest of them all.
No, that's...
And in the end, he got hit by a van.
Jesus.
While having a heart attack.
Oh, jeez.
Couldn't be hectic. He got hit by a van while having a heart attack.
Jesus.
The father drove the milk lorry.
Huh?
he drove the milk lorry.
Your father?
Yeah. Mm. And he'd be rattling around the county at 90 miles an hour. Just by the time he get to the depot, it'd be butter. He had a heavy boot.
Did he?
Daddy Fong Legs, they used to call him. And I said, they said to me at the funeral, Jez, he was a speed merchant. And I said, no, he done the milk. I heard you were allergic to milk. You had to give it up.
Me?
Yeah, was that you?
No.
No, that was me, sorry. I knew it was someone. No,
Hassle.
A bit of news anyway.
Yes.
Just on the community, the notice board.
Oh, brilliant.
Peg Lavin.
Yeah, everybody loves Peg Lavin, yeah.
No, I mean, no hassle. Like, everybody loves Peg Lavin. Peg is looking for a rodden.
What?
Her shoe is blocked. Somebody want to go in and block it with a rod. Would you give her a rod, you will.
Peg, I don't have any rods.
We get you one. Come, we go up to Stephen, do it. Will you go up to Stephen?
Yeah, I'll go up to Stephen. I don't want to come.
I'll be around. I'll be around now this evening. I'm giving Sully a hand. It's getting cheap now. I'll be around.
Okay.
You'll be all right on your own.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
You'll be on your right on your own. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Freddy.
Other notifications. Tracy Lacey lost her wedding ring.
Oh.
I'd say she takes it off when she wants.
Oh, Paddy.
She reduces a bag of onions there. She liked a Nina bypass. Expensive. And everyone's been up on it.
Oh, Paddy.
Still better than going to Boris again. But she wants the ring anyway.
Okay.
Probably worth a few pounds. So. Okay. But appealing to the public. Have you seen Tracy's ring? Will you give her a hand? You will. Have a look.
No, I'm not.
Come on, we go. Many hands make light work.
Yeah, I can.
Come on, we'll start up at the home place. We'll work our way down. Right?
Right. No. Okay. When?
First thing in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Will you be there?
I'll be there, yeah. Will you?
And just don't be around down in the morning. I'm doing a run.
A run?
I'm doing a bit of driving for a courier.
Okay, right.
I did in the mornings. A lot of packages going now these days.
Yeah. Online shopping.
I laid most of them in the garage. To be
in people's garages?
Yeah, no, like in the fucking garage above the roundabout. They laid them in there.
Above the Esso?
Yeah, people collect them, yeah. No hassle.
I don't think that's how it's meant to work.
Drive on.
Okay.
I won't be around now, but you'll be all right on your own.
Yeah. I'm getting landed for everything here, Pat.
Kilmuff Camogie Club. Kilmuff Camogie Club are doing an online fundraiser. You can walk, run, cycle 5 kilometres. People are paying you to walk around your own town now. No wonder they went for God. You know the muff, ladies.
Yeah.
We'll do it at the weekend.
Okay, right. What day?
I do it in Destra.
Okay.
We do it Friday.
Yeah.
My Astra boy. Would she drink ale? She would have, she got it.
Well up.
Well up. They'd all be out now, fucking power walking on the square like the Russian army. It wouldn't be hectic. I won't be around now Friday.
Oh, you're not wrong. She...
No. If you're lighting your own, you will.
I'll be okay with my own, yeah.
I won't be around. Hey, we can do it Saturday.
Okay, I'll do Saturday, so.
I'll be around now Saturday. I'm about to go away.
What are you going to do?
I should the butty party play over now. They'll be looking for a spin. They'll be looking for a spin.
Thanks a million, Paddy.
Sound. No hassle. No hassle.
Oh, my God. Just when you thought this couldn't get any better. Her pronunciation of the word silage is deeply controversial. Maureen's here with her mystery topic. Maura, before we even get into the mystery topic... Big news coming out of the Extra podcast this week is your pronunciation of the word silage. Can you please tell the listeners how you pronounce it?
Silage. It's a silage pit. You know, like you're doing silage.
You're going to have to repeat that.
Silage.
Silage.
Silage, yeah.
Is that how everyone in your part of the world says it?
Oh, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Is that silage?
Okay, we're going to have to put
this. Silage has been done this
weekend. Maura, you know we have a song called The Silage Song.
Yeah. I say
never
that's
occurred
the
Silage
Song. Sorry.
We're going to need...
I look over and Neil has just passed out.
Voice note us on Instagram, lads. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, we're going to have to settle this one way or the other. We might do a poll or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, Maura...
Sort this out.
What's the crack?
Good. I have a tough topic for you guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. This week's topic is double standards in viewing porn. Generally, women who watch porn are considered overly sexual or edgy, but the average man is expected to watch it. So if you had a friend now, a male friend, who didn't watch porn, you'd think he was weird, wouldn't you?
No.
Very okay, convincing no there, yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't sit around now with my friends and be like, well, lad, are you watching any porn? It's not, you know, it's not quite Netflix.
Okay, well, what percentage of women do you think watch porn?
What percentage of women admit to watching porn?
So there's the figure 30%. That people admit and then there's the actual figure.
People admit, I'd say, women watching porn, 10%.
Mm. And then actually?
Probably 40%.
Correct. Very on the mark there. So like...
Wow.
Yeah,
snap.
One expert in sexuality, it's so hard to figure out what percentage of women watch porn because like if you say that you watch porn, you're like, oh my God, you slut, Jezebel, you whore, you know? Like it's like, no, I just like watch porn because, you know, especially if you're going through a dry patch where you don't have a boyfriend or you're in a long distance relationship, perfectly normal too. So one expert in sexuality said she estimated around between 40 and 50% of women watch porn. And interestingly, the percentage of visitors to Pornhub worldwide, 24% are women. So,
wow.
Yeah. Now, I think probably why a lot of women don't admit to watching porn as well is that it's very hard to actually find good porn. Like the stuff that's geared towards men is like, I don't think any woman is going to watch, you know, blonde gets slammed or, you know, granny likes to go at it, that kind of thing. That's not what women are into. So like, but like good porn for women there actually does exist. Do you have any idea where to go find it, lads, or do you want me to fill you in?
Well, I'm sure either way you're going to fill us in, Maura, but yeah.
I'd like to see what women are looking for.
Yeah, that's
what
I was just about to say, like, big willies.
Women want, like, good production values and a story, and then there's probably like half an hour before they start having sex. Yeah. He has to rescue her and chop some wood and then collect the kids from school at the start of it and all. Yeah. Whereas the guys are just like, you know,
spoosh,
I come fix the refrigerator, whatever. She's like, yeah, put it right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just call him daddy, which is fucking strange.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy. Oh, Jesus.
Not in the ones that...
Yeah, he has the woman bed.
Not the fuck pictures you watch, is it? Is that what you're going to say?
The ones I heard about.
Yeah, it's like, it's so realistic when like the woman's bent into a really awkward position and she's like, oh yeah, I like it like that. It's like, she's going to slip a disc if you keep going at her like that. Anyway, so what women want generally is porn that makes them feel good about themselves, that's ethically produced. So, like, you know, keep in mind that if you're going to order porn, it probably, if you want it ethical, you're probably going to have to pay for those production values. So there's a couple of companies, Belessa. They are a porn company run by women. So that's Bellesa. So they say that Belessa is a platform on which community members can find free and ethically sourced porn videos, read into erotic stories, explore sexual health articles, and buy, you know, sex toys and stuff like that. Now, and it's kind of like you can pay for the level that you want to subscribe. So you can pay for nothing and get free content, and then you can build up your membership and you get more content that way. Another website is Frolic Me. They are $13 a month. They say Frolic Me offers tasteful erotic porn, film, audio stories and photo galleries. It was started in 2015 by Anna Richards, who wanted to cater to those who found mainstream porn more of a turn off than a turn on. It's also popular with sex therapists. They recommend this website to their clients. As Richard says, she gets a lot of emails from members who signed up after hearing from professionals. So if you want to check that out. Now, some people
sorry,
also...
Sorry, Maura, we're distracted here because I've just Googled Irish porn. And there's a first video here on Pornhub is Suck O the Dick. Wild St. Paddy's Day, hard deep throat leaves marks. Wow, these are rough.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna... No woman's gonna watch that. Like, that's just gonna be like... That you'd watch that and you get nightmares. Like, you don't. Like, I don't know why. That's very male-orientated porn.
Stepsis says, kiss me, I'm Irish.
Ah, jeez.
Maddie O'Reilly gagging. Irish milt want me to...
Milf, lad, not milt.
Milf, cream pie. Oh, my God. These are all mental.
Yeah, where were we?
OnlyFans Ireland, all these Irish Home Alone videos. These are, wow. Yeah.
Apparently there are women who subscribe to OnlyFans content as well, men, but...
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine... That'd do it for me, but like, you know, fair play to them if they do. If there's men there making, you know, money off porn, good luck to them. There's also what I find really interesting is that you never hear of this for men, but there's audio porn available for women. So, wow. Yeah. So
the sound of a man doing the dishes.
So porn sites like Dipsy and Quinn, they have audio that you can listen to, you know, so it's kind of like it's like erotic stories that you can listen to on your headphones. Wow. You know, when you're out for a walk, very interesting like that. So, but lads, do you think guys would be intimidated if their girl had a subscription to a porn website?
Good question, because we kind of discussed this the other way around. And we half gave the lads a pass. I think it might be a bit weird to be paying for porn in a relationship. That depends. I wouldn't be a big fan of it either way, guys or gals. Not just because I'm main.
Just because you've got a very high sex drive.
Why is there so much... We just typed in Irish porn into the internet and about a billion videos have come up. Why is there so much free porn on the internet?
Yeah, paying for porn is strange when it's there for free.
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of people do. OnlyFans is big news.
Yeah, I can understand OnlyFans because it's like, well, like, you know, you think you know the person, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, but if you want to watch porn, you don't want to spend 20 minutes you know, searching through stuff, trying to find something with a decent plot line. And because, you know,
like Netflix, we'd be flicking for ages, not seeing that trending in Ireland this week. Yeah,
yeah, but every night you're flicking on Netflix, you don't have a rager.
How do you know? I'd love to see a bit of like Irish porn, GA porn.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know what that would be like. Be highly inappropriate anyway.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm don't sure even go there, pal.
Yeah, wow. I know of one guy. Well, this was a guy he met on Grindr, and the guy actually asked him to dress up in GA gear and go over to his house. So,
if you type GA porn into like the internet, it'll just bring up like a clip of Owen Kelly.
This is mostly gay men. Sorry, I've been subjected to several peni.
That's massive.
Back, delete.
Just throw the laptop out the window.
Well, if you came home and like your missus was at herself watching porn, I'd probably be a bit like, yeah, I can understand how you'd be a bit like, what, am I not doing my job here?
Yeah. Why didn't you give me a ring?
Give me a ring, that's our choice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can understand that. I think it's probably more emasculating for men than it is the other way around for women.
Well, the story goes that
women are probably like, ah, Jesus, he's always watching porn, he's an awful hornback. Whereas
that's
like
the story.
Whereas with men, it's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you watching porn when you ring me? Like, I'll ride you. Like, yeah, just let me know.
It is possible that the roles are reversed, that like the man in the relationship doesn't have a high sex drive, and maybe, the woman.
Yeah, can happen, yeah.
Look, as we said about the nuns trying to get communion, if they're not getting it in town, they'll go somewhere else.
They'll go somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think lads should be intimidated. And if a girl says she wants to watch porn, sure, like, it's good to try something new. And plus, if you watch it together, you might learn something. So, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be massively into watching porn, but I did buy a copy of The Longest Ride on DVD. And it's not what it sounds like.
Scott Eastwood.
Yes. Yeah. Because Netflix took it off their subscription service. I was like, I need to get a copy of that. So I have a DVD copy
Mark,
now.
Can I say, I don't think people should be watching porn to try and learn any techniques.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying about the ethical porn from women produced by female producers.
Okay.
You know, that's way more what women are into. Like, if you want to learn what sex woman likes, watch it from a female porn that's made by a female perspective.
That makes sense.
Yeah, if a lad was trying to learn something off porn on the internet, he'd just dress up as a fireman and put on an accent.
Go home to his stepmother and try to get it on. You know what I mean?
That's our view is more each to their own, I would say, Johnny.
I would probably find it a bit strange if I found my missus watching porn. I'll talk to her about it. Wouldn't be a big issue, but small bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd be like, you know, I'll be that guy.
Want me to dress up?
Yeah. I can ring, like, but also, costume shop Dalai, some great stuff.
But people's definition of porn has varied too. Like, when lads are home having a Tom Hanks, they're not necessarily on porn websites anymore.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they could be on Instagram.
Yeah, sure. What's on Instagram is fairly racy these days, to be honest.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All got to get our kicks.
Boom. There's bums out everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be careful.
Bums and baps.
Yeah.
And six packs.
You're never more than two clicks away from a bum.
That's
the old saying goes.
I like to hear the female perspective on this anyway, like female listeners. What's their views on watching porn? So
we'll cast it out there to the listeners. If you're a lady and you're watching porn, fucking get in contact.
Do you know, Maura, you said that 24% of Pornhub users were women.
Mm.
Is it possible that like 24% of Pornhub users left their laptop open and their girlfriends found it? Maybe.
I'd say if a man spent more than half an hour at a laptop, he'd have to click on porn.
It's like those Google ads that follow you around.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, they said it, so I gotta
watch
it.
This is why men love working from home then.
Oh, lads, men are way more productive. What do you think they do at lunchtime? Okay.
Oh my God.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod, that's the number 2, to get in touch. You can get us on Instagram @the2johnnies, and you can email podcast@the2johnnies.ie. Any future topics you want to hear, any correspondence you have, horse it into us. We love reading through it. Now, we're going to close the podcast, John, as is traditional, with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the Week. What have you got for us, John boy?
My dirt, right? You like the skinny tracksuits that everyone's wearing these days. These ones are, most of them are kind of the same, like Gymshark,
yeah,
Gym Coffee, all these ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Put your phone in the skinny pocket.
Oh, I know.
And then you try and take it out, like, and then it's just, everything sticks.
Yeah.
They need to do something with the pockets of skinny tracksuits so that our big phones aren't getting caught.
Now, we do have battery packs.
Yeah, but it's like the Suez Canal there. Look, I'm trying to get my phone into my pocket. Yeah. It's just catching everywhere.
Pockets are, yeah. We have those silicone iPhone covers that have a battery on the back. And they're quite, the texture on them isn't great.
It's not slippy enough.
No. You need to lube up your phone, lad. In keeping with porn.
And if the young lads that are breaking into Care GAA
could stop
as well, because...
Be great help to us.
Be great help if lads could stop breaking
Jesus
in.
Jesus Christ.
During the lockdown. Thanks.
I never thought people would be like breaking in for a game of GAA.
As long as we're not playing soccer, to be honest.
Because
they after painting the fence in all this mad black shit. So if a young lad goes to climb into the soccer
field, he'll be destroyed. Yeah.
Destroyed in all this black.
And the paint never dries.
Never dries.
There you go. You've heard it here, lads.
This is the same.
We'll be down.
Yeah, we'll be down. PJ will be down. Go on.
Where you get the book? I don't know if this is it. Well, it's certainly a yurt for me, but it's probably a dirt for the other person I share my house with. Tears in the house this week. The Duke of Hastings is not returning to Bridgerton. Yes, the actor.
What?
Regé Jean Page. You know, the man who plays the main lad in Bridgerton. Really good looking lad. All the women love him. He's not coming back for the next series, which means, you know, I don't have to live with another man in my house for 8 hours a week when Bridgerton comes back.
She was a fan of him, was she?
Oh, lad.
Okay.
I was trying to say, look, I'm the Duke of Care. It wasn't having the same effect. But the Duke of Hastings, yeah, he's not coming back, lad. He's not coming back for series 2 of Bridgerton. He's some good looking man, though.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
I don't know which lad it is, but they were all good looking, in fairness.
Yeah, but he was exceptionally good looking. That's kind of my dirt. And then my yurt is something I'm trying to get you to watch on Netflix. Like most things, I recommend you ignore them. But Springsteen on Broadway. Bruce Springsteen, you know, 2.5 hours. It's a one-man show of him talking and singing songs like you've never heard him before. I watched it now after I had a few tins, and there was tears and all sorts. Some man lad, some voice as well. Look like a fellow who ate a pack of stones for breakfast. Screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. It's just so, oh man, it's brilliant. Like,
he could be an actor.
100%. Oh, 100%. This year he was acting in this. It's
Bruce Springsteen on Broadway.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. If you're into that, if you're into your little bit of kind of artsy for shizzle.
Yeah.
That's there for you. What have you got?
We had Joe Brawley on last week and we were talking about it, and this week, like, everyone is saying, oh, it's not getting coverage and stuff. Things are starting to go bananas again in the north.
Mm.
And I would say we're praying for you, but I'm not religious, so and I don't know if more religion is what that situation needs either. But there's some great work being done. People going out in the streets trying to de-escalate things. And for us down here, it's easy to philosophize and take sides and stuff. But all we can really do to people down here is say, go handy on social media. If you're making a comment, you know, this is people's real lives. Are you making things better or worse? You know, putting in a dig that makes you sound smart. Are you actually helping the situation? So everyone up there, let's take the temperature down.
Yeah.
We're thinking-y.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I echo that as well, 100%. You don't have a make-you-up-y word of the week?
No.
Oh, disappointing. Or you weren't on to Dahi, lad, no? He's not interested in coming on doing like...
He said he might.
Yeah, still in negotiations.
Yeah.
Early days.
We're busy men.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks
so much to everybody for listening.
We hope you're all keeping well. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
Go on, Neil. We'll give you one as well.
Shout.
From me, Neil the intern.
There you go. Good luck. See you next week. Go on. Bye, 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 bye.